Okay, good evening, everyone. So last week we began discussing the halachas of the malacha of kosher and matir, making knots, tying knots on Shabbos and untying knots. So let's just review the very basics. The very basics, we had is machlokas rishonim as to what type of a knot one is not allowed to make on Shabbos. We had the shita of the Rush and the shita of the Rambam. According to the shita of the Rush, everything depends on time. That's the only factor, meaning a knot which is meant to be taken out immediately, and we defined immediately as within 24 hours, or according to a more lenient opinion, even up to 7 days, that's still called, it's like immediately, very short, or let's call it very short term. So a knot which is very short term, according to the Rush, is mutter. It's mutter to make such a knot on Shabbos, and it's mutter to untie such a knot on Shabbos. The second level is a knot that's longer than that. It's for a moderate amount of time, not forever, but more than just short term. And such a knot is aser midrabbanan, to make such a knot on Shabbos. And the third possibility is a knot that's intended to last forever. It's something which you tie and have no intention of ever untying it. Let's say the knots on your tzitzis. Once you tie it,
you... Knot on your shoes.
No, well, you're not on shoes, you take out.
I know, that's a term.
No, I'm giving the letter. I'm trying to give an example of a knot that you tie indefinitely. You tie it and you never expect to untie it.
But I'm saying the knot that you make on your shoes, because it's temporary, that you're allowed to do.
Okay, correct.
That's
yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, I went to the other side.
Yeah, that's right, not a problem. Okay, so the knots on your tzitzis, for example, you tie them on the tzitzis onto the beged, there's no intention of ever untying them. So that would be an example.
What about tightening?
Well, we'll get there. So I just want to go over the introduction, the basics, the basis of the discussion that we mentioned last week. So that tabinat is asur min haTorah. The third category is asur min haTorah, to make such a knot or to untie such a knot is asur min haTorah. That's according to the sheet of the Rush. According to the sheet of the Rambam, there's time is one factor. Not exactly like the Rosh, we'll see, but there's another factor called what type of knot. Is it a professional type of knot, which is called the Kesher Uman, or isn't it? And so according to the Rambam, if a knot is not a Kesher Uman, it's a plain knot, not a non-professional type of knot, and you don't expect it, you don't intend for it to last forever, it's mutter to make it on Shabbos. Even if you plan on leaving it there for a moderate amount of time. But as long as you don't expect to leave it there indefinitely, and it isn't a kesher umen, it isn't professional style, according to the Rambam, you're allowed to make that knot on Shabbos, and you're allowed to untie that knot on Shabbos. If it has one of the two factors, it's either a professional knot, but it wasn't tied to last indefinitely, or it's a knot which was tied to last indefinitely, but it's not professional, so it's got one of the two strikes against it, but only one out of the two. That's asur midrabbanan, to tie or untie. And if it has two strikes, it's both a professional knot and you're tying it with the intention of it lasting indefinitely, then it's asur min haTorah. That's the Rambam Shita. And we said last week that in the Shulchan Aruch,
according to the Rambam, if you tie even a non-professional knot indefinitely, it's only one strike out of the two.
Yes, it's only the Rambam. If once it's not a kesher uman, the press knot, it's not going to be asur min haTorah, because according to the Rambam, that's a prerequisite, the requirement to be asur min haTorah, it has to be a professional knot, and it also has to be made indefinitely. If you're missing either one of them, it's only asur min haTorah.
Professional knot.
Yeah. Now, so we said last week, based on the psak of the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch, we are machmir for both opinions, meaning we follow the stringencies of both opinions, so that a professional knot you would not be allowed to make on Shabbos, even if you're planning on taking it right out, even if you plan on taking it within the day. But once it's a professional knot, so according to it's got one of the two strikes in the Rambam Shita and Aser, Midrabbanan. And on the other hand, a knot which is, even if it's not clearly not professional, but you plan on leaving it there for even a moderate amount of time, anything more than one day or if stretching it anything more than 7 days would be aser midrabbanan. Even though according to the Rambam, it's not according to the Rambam, it's not professional. It's not permanent. So it's not indefinite. So it's mutter. But we're machmir for the Rosh Hashita that even if it's not professional, once it's more than 1/7 days, it's aser at least midrabbanan. So a machmir for both shitas. And we also said that the Rama says that we're not bucky. We're not so knowledgeable and wise and expert in knowing what exactly is called a professional knot and what isn't. What did Chazal mean when they said, I say Chazal, the interesting thing is the Gemara does not mention Kesher Uman. The Gemara doesn't say it. I said, what does Chazal mean? It's like, what does the Gemara mean by a professional knot? Gemara doesn't mention a word about a professional knot. It's the Rambam's Taich of the Gemara, the Rambam and the Riff, you know, that the way they interpret the Gemara is only talking about a professional knot. The Gemara never uses that expression, and if you learn the plain Gemara, if you weren't the Rambam, you never would have necessarily come to this conclusion that this is even a factor. But the Rambam, that's how he learns the Gemara. So what's meant in the Rambam's world? What's meant by a professional knot? Says the Rambam, we're not einan ubikian. We're not bucky. We're not experts, and we can't trust our own judgment at what's called professional knot. And therefore, says the Rama, any knot that's either a double knot, one knot on top of another, or even if it's a single knot, but it's a knot like at the end of a string, not like when you tie your shoes the first step in tying your shoes, where that type of a single knot is really nothing, but that by itself wouldn't stay at all. But a single knot where you just take like one string and you twirl it around and pull the string through the hole, right? You make a hole, pull the string through the hole, and you pull that tight, that could stay forever, right? You do that, you could do it with your tzitzis. I mean, in fact, some people do that with their tzitzis, not on Shabbos. But some people, when the ends of the tzitzis begin to fray, as they often do, that's what they'll do in order to keep it. In fact, I was thinking of doing some of mine. The string is okay, but I have some where they're not so okay. You know, just
make a little knot.
Yeah, you turn it, you twist it around here, and you pull it through the hole. And then if you pull this tight, it's not going anywhere, right? It'll stay indefinitely. So that the Ramah says also, it's a chash, is a shayla that might be considered a permanent knot. I meant to say professional knot. Might be considered a kesher uman. It might be considered a professional knot, and therefore, according to the and therefore the Rama says you're not supposed to do it because we don't know, that might be what's included in professional knot. Now I will mention that this is something we did mention last week, there is a shita of the Avnei Nezer and the Merkavas and Mishnah to the Achronim say that the way I did it here like this is really nothing, because what did you knot? You just knotted the string itself, you didn't tie anything. What they say is that in order for it to be a knot that the Torah asserted, you have to be tying something up. Like if you would tie a string around something to hold it in place, like you tie a packet, tie a box closed, right? You have a cake box and you tie the cake box closed, or anything else you're tying closed. That's what the Torah asserted. But just a knot which is not doing anything, it's not keeping anything closed, is not usher. So then what did the Rama mean, right? When the Rama said a knot on the end of a string, you never tie anything in there, right? I mean, so they say what the Rama meant is like if you would do this, similar to the case of the tzitzis, where you're keeping this string together, or let's say you have laces in a hood, the common thing, right? You have laces in a child's hood, or even in adult's hood, and you don't want the laces to pull up into the track, and then it's difficult to get them out. So you make a knot at the end of that string, or at the end of that lace, to keep it. So now it's too wide; it won't fit. It won't go back through the hole. So that's what the Rama means. Something like that, where the knot is serving a purpose. The knot is doing something. If it's just a knot that you just knotted the string, it wouldn't be now. But I assume they would say that the case that sits this would be usher, because you're doing as well. You're doing it to keep the different strands of the chut together. Okay. In any case, so the Rama says we're machmir for both opinions, and we're also machmir that a kesher uman might be a pretty simple knot to make. So to double knot, even if you take two strings and you tie them the way you tie your shoes, just simply like this, you go once. Now that's so far that's nothing, that's once. But then you do it again, not as a bow, not the way you tie your shoes, but you go a second time, you do it, and you pull this together, now that's going to stay, right? One knot on top of that's going to stay. So that, the Rama says, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, even if you're planning on taking it out. The reason why you are allowed to tie your shoes on Shabbos, as was mentioned, and I believe we discussed last week, is because there what you're doing is you're not making a double knot. You're making a single knot with a bow on top of it. That's called aniva, agabi kesher. Like, you know, you take the two laces, you tie one way, one time. Now, like I said, this, if you left it this way,
it's a slip knot.
Right.
Anyway. It's made to go away.
Right. But the slip knot by itself would never stay, right? If you just left it this way, you walk one step and it's going to come out. So, but then you make it a bow on top of it, right? You turn one end into a bow, into a loop bow, and you circle the other end around and pull it through, and you have a bow. This is how you tie your shoes, and that's very easy to take out. That's cool. But the point is, that's an aniva al gabe kesher. That's called a bow on top of a knot, and that is permissible. But according to the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Magen Avraham and the Taz, it's only permissible if you'll take it out within the day, within 24 hours. You can't tie your shoes like that and then just kick them off at night and leave them till, you know, till next Shabbos or till next week, until next month when you want to wear that pair of shoes again. You have to untie it, and it has to be that. It should be that's your derech, that you always untie it, and now mentioning another halacha which we did not really. I don't believe if we mentioned last week, and that is it's the summary Shonim say the kolbo and the Magen Avraham brings it, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, any knot which you, well, he's talking about permanently, but I will say at least that way, any knot which is sometimes tied to last permanently cannot be knotted on Shabbos, even if you're planning on taking it out.
So a person that always leaves his shoes tied in Shabbat will not be able to just tie it for the day, because he's there, he's to keep it
right.
Tied.
Well,
opinion.
Even though that might not be permanent, but still, right. The Pesukim do say that if you typically don't untie your shoes, you just tie them once and then just kick them off, and especially if you never untie them until you're forced to. But otherwise, you just take a shoehorn and you slip your foot in and pull your foot out and you keep them tied the whole time, then yes, you would not be allowed to tie your shoes on Shabbos, even with a bow on top of a knot. You would not be able to do that, because that's the type of thing that you sometimes leave permanently, and or you frequently leave permanently, so you're not allowed to do it. So it would come out, let's say a person like that, he ties his shoes and leaves them tied for good until something happens that they get, in a way that he's forced to untie them. Otherwise, he just leaves them that way. So, and sure enough, it happens on Shabbos that it comes out. By accident, it gets pulled, and it comes out. Or one of his three-year-old is crawling around and playing with his shoes, and the three-year-old kid pulls out, unties the shoe. And now he wants to wear his shoes on Shabbos, so he's got a problem. Because he can't tie his shoes the way you and I can tie your shoes. I don't know about you. I assume I can. I know. I don't leave my shoes untied. I mean, tied. I untie them. So I know I'm allowed to tie my shoes in Shabbos. But now this person can't do it because he never unties his shoes. He leaves them tied. So I saw an eitz in the Sefer Shus Yitzchak. The eitz he gives is that he should tie them, but tie them very tight in a way that he's going to be forced to undo. You can't leave it. You can't just get your foot in and out. It's too tight for that, because a person who leaves them tied permanently and just slips his foot in and out has to make sure they're not too tight. If they're too tight, it's not going to work. So this time he should tie it specifically very tight in a way that he's not ruggled to do it. That's not what he usually leaves tied. And you can't even leave that tied, because it's not going to work. You know, probably it's going to be an effort to get it off. You might not even get it. Certainly if you get it off, you're not going to be able to get your foot back in. So he should do that. At least this time he should do that, you know, on Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, he can go back to his habit of tying it for permanence. Okay, so this is what we said last week with a few additional points, which we added now. Now, the question was asked about tightening, right? So the answer. Yes, exactly, right, the perfect example. So the answer is that it is usher to tighten knots, just like any knot you can't make on Shabbos, you can't tighten. This is brought, you want to look it up in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah brings it down in note 15. He brings it from the Sos HaShulchan. He says, V'chein hiduk shel kesher, this is on page, it's on 263 in this Mishnah Berurah. Note 15. V'chein hiduk shel kesher rofeif, to tighten a loosened knot, shu kesher gabe kesher, once it's a double knot, the top of that type of knot you can't make on Shabbos, kagon, like the example that you just gave us, kesher ha'elyon shebetzitzis, the top knot in your tzitzis, which it's common that it loosens. Kasav tzevs hashulchan sheyesh bezech shash chiyav chatos. Person who does that might be violating min hatorah. It might be an isur daraisa, and he'd have to bring a car. If he did that on Shabbos, forgetting or not realizing, to bring a carbon chatos. Mashiach comes, have to go buy himself a nice fat animal and bring it as a carbon chatos. Because he turned it into a ma'aseh uman. Okay. And he writes further, if it was mamish, if it was very loose, it was very loose so that it's not holding at all, it could be at that point it's not even called a knot. So when you quote-unquote tighten it, you're really making the knot. So even according to the Rush, forget about Kesher Uman, even according to the Rush, it's you made the Kesher and planning on leaving it there, right? It's meant to last permanently. So even according to the Rush, it would be the right. So, okay, he brings from other Gedolim who concur with this Pesach of the Kesher Shul. Excuse me. Okay, so tightening knots is something one should definitely not be doing on Shabbos. Now, what happens? I don't remember last week all the things we may or may not have spoken out, so you'll forgive me if some of it is unintentionally redundant, but I think it's worthwhile speaking out. What about a knot that was made unintentionally? I mean, you were trying to make a kosher knot, a proper knot, trying to tie your shoes in the proper manner, or trying to untie your shoes, and you weren't paying so much attention, so you pulled the wrong string, and now you ended up with a tight knot, which is not, you have to work on to get out. It doesn't come out, so it's now the type of knot that you wouldn't be allowed to make on Shabbos. It's a double knot. So, and you're not allowed to make it on Shabbos, not allowed to untie it on Shabbos. So what about this situation where it sort of came about on its own, accidentally, so that the Mishnah Berurah discusses this in the name of the Chai Adam. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Gimel. I think I might have mentioned it last week, but you'll forgive me if I did. In the end of Mishnah Berurah Chaf Gimel, and he says that you're allowed to untie it. The question is, does he mean under all circumstances, or does he just mean b'mokum tzar? Question on how to learn the Mishpah, but the Chazoni speaks out clearly that you're allowed to untie it even if there's no tzar, even if it's not particularly uncomfortable or hurting your foot or anything, you're allowed to untie it. Because he says, the Chazoni says, and this is also, I think I did mention this, but it is the Pesach of Shmuel Kamensky as well in the Sefer Kovetz Halachas. He says the whole idea, the Ramaz, the position the Ramah takes, that you anytime you have a double knot, you can't make it on Shabbos and you can't untie it on Shabbos. It's a chumrah. It's not me'ikar adin. It's a chumrah, and the minig is to be machmir. But he says there's no minug. There's no minug on a knot that wasn't made on purpose. The minig is not to create such a knot and not to untie such a knot which was intentionally made. But there's no minug, governing a situation of which something happened accidentally, or the way I think we're. It could be the way the Kovetz Halacha says, others say it, that's for sure not a Kesher Uman. For sure, even if it's like a double knot, but it's for sure not a professional knot if it was made totally by accident. You weren't even trying to make any knot, and the strings just got intertwined together, or twisted together in a way that you have to work to get them out. That's for sure not a professional knot. It's an accidental knot, and therefore you'd be allowed to untie that on Shabbos. If you have a knot which you're allowed to untie, but you can't get it open, you're allowed to, but you just, it's too hard. You're allowed to cut it also. You're allowed to, if you have a knot around a cake box or something, the type of knot you're allowed to open. You're allowed to open on Shabbos. But you can't seem to get your, get it, or it's just too much, it's too much bother.
Much. It was a knot that was made that should have been able to open.
Right.
But not a knot that was made permanent.
So that would be more difficult. There are some times that even a knot that's impermanently could be cut open, but the case I was giving you, the Lashon Mishnah Berurah, is a knot that was made a knot that you're allowed to untie, a knot that you're allowed to untie, which means not a permanent knot, like you're saying, a knot which you're allowed to untie, but you just find it's too tedious, or you can't seem to get it open, so you could just cut the string and get to the step that way. Do you prefer? No, because if it's a knot that you're allowed to untie, so there's no problem with untying it.
No, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's really tight. It's very hard to.
Yeah. Okay. So you like. So you could do it. Just take a knife and.
In that case, I was thinking cutting.
Because you don't have to be tareach on Shabbos. That's what you mean. Okay. Maybe. perhaps that might be. We do find that tircha is a factor in some of these halachas we spoke about, like lacing the shoes and stuff. Okay. Now there's a shaila about or a discussion all the svarim about a necktie, making a necktie on Shabbos, making it or untying it. Now, just if you look in the svarim, the word that they use in modern Hebrew for a necktie is aniva. Now, which is a little misleading if you're learning a halachic sefer, which is halacha, because aniva is a technical halachic term for a bow, which we said before, like when the way you tie your shoe is a kesher with an aniva on top of it. And in Hebrew, the word aniva refers to a necktie. So they're talking about making a necktie, and you're using the word aniva, and you know, making a kesher in your aniva. It can get a little misleading. So I think
I know someone that. He never unties his ties.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about right now. So this, most of the svarim discuss two ways of making a tie, two basic ways. I'm sure there are numerous ways. You could probably get a book on 150 ways to make a tie. But we're only going to talk about two basic ways to make a tie. One way, you make it in such a fashion, just turn, twist and turn, so that with the finished product, if you pull out the small end, like you pull out the small end there, then what's left doesn't hold at all. What's left just comes out easily by itself. You just get a little tug and the whole thing comes apart, because there's nothing really tied. Once you, that might be the right word for it. I'm not sure the exact value is true, but once you pull out this part,
you can't pull out that.
No, like this.
Oh, from the top.
Yeah,
yes,
from the top.
You can.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
From the top. You pull out from the top, right? And then the quote unquote knot that's left has no kiyum whatsoever.
You can do
comes
that
right apart.
Same with the top part also, to pull out from the top.
Yeah, I guess the top part, then the whole thing's going to come right away. Yeah, okay, either way, right. Anyway, you pull out one end, right? If you pull out one end, then the whole thing would come apart. That's one type. And the other type is where it's not like that, where even if you pull out the thing, you're still left with a knot. Now you have just a long tie, but you still have a knot, and to get it out, you have to work on it. You have to, you know, use your hands and pull and pry a little bit to get it. It will not just fall apart. So those are the two styles. Now, but there's a machlokas in the poskim, what the din is in style A and what in the style B. I think the more common approach is that style A is mutter to make on Shabbos, even if you would leave it. Even if you never don't intend to open it, you want to make it that way, just leave it that way, you know, like the friend, like the person you said you know. You just want to make it that way, just leave it tied that way. But that's not considered a knot. It's just considered an aneva, something which it doesn't hold. The only reason it's holding is because there's the other end is stuck through it. But once that's out, there's nothing there to hold it, so that isn't classified as a knot in halacha. That is an aniva in halacha. It has the din of an aniva, and therefore an aniva, a halachic aniva, meaning it's called a bow, you're allowed to make on Shabbos even to leave permanently. Even aniva al gabi aniva. If you would tie your shoes without making the first slip knot, you just start right away making a bow. You take one end and make a loop out of it, and then go right the other way, and then you do that a second time. You're allowed to do that even if you leave it permanently. A neva by itself is not an isser and Shabbos. It's not a kesher. So as I said, so some of the svarim look at it that a tie which has no it doesn't stay at all. Once you pull out one end, the other end cannot hold its form, its shape. Is called an aneva, and then you can do it on Shabbos even if you're going to leave it permanently. Whereas the second type of a tie, where even if you pull out the form, the rest of the thing will still stay. So that they look at as more as that's like a kesher. That's more of a kesher, but not a kesher uman, more of a kesher like we tie like a kesher agabi aniva, or better yet, aniva agabi kesher. Or mitzad the avnei nesa that I mentioned before, that you're not tying anything with it. It's just tying it to itself. You're not tying anything up in it. So that they say, as long as your derech is to take it out daily, You're not the type of person that ties his tie once and then he'll leave it there for forever if it doesn't get messed up or if it doesn't have to go to the clean, you know, get washed or whatever. You're not that type of guy. You every morning you make your tie, and in the evening when you take it off, you untie it. So if that's your derech, then you could do it on Shabbos as well. You can make even the more complex type of a tie, because it's still not a kesher umad. It's not more than a kesher al gabi and eva, and you'd be allowed to do it. That's one approach in the poskim. The other approach is a little bit more machmir. For example, if you look at the kovitz halachas, now he doesn't say it with a firm hand. It's not something he says this is pashut. He's in fact he's also noted that maybe he's being more machmir than necessary. But lemaisa, the way he recommends is that even the first type of a tie, which doesn't hold at all, once you take, you should only do with almanas to take it out within a day. And the second type of a tie, you shouldn't do at all. I mean, it's one notch up from the first shita. And as I said, if you look there, he doesn't say b'taras vade. It seems there's a lot of uncertainty how to define the knot of a tie. Is that indeed defined as a kesher, or even a kesher gabi aniva, or is it possibly a kesher uma, at least the second type, is it, or not? So according to this, to what the kavas halachas brings down, Rishmol Kamenetsky is machmir, and I think the Shmir Shabbos brings a similar thing to be machmir, that that you should only take out a tie if it's a type of a tie that doesn't hold. The Shmir Shabbos might be a little bit different, but at least for Kavis Halachas, that you only make a tie in Shabbos or undo it on Shabbos if it's the first style tie, and that you do it for 24 hours. You do it to take it out within 24 hours. And he says, right, so if you need, you can be machmer up to 7 days. Because remember, always the first level of short term, there are two opinions. What's called short term? Is it 1 day or is it 7 days? And the Mishnah Berurah himself even has what he brings is a raya, a strong raya, or a strong support to the 7 day shita. So when necessary, you can be maker like that. Okay. And what I want to discuss now, we ended up last week, you're asking about the twist ties. Twist ties around your challah, bakery challah bag, or anything else that might be. So now I know the word tie is in the name. It's a twist tie, or some people call it twisty, maybe not. But the question is, why should there be even a shayla of using a twist tie in Shabbos? You don't knot it. You can't make it knot. You're just twisting the two things together. You're just twirling one thing around the other. So, but yet it is. It's definitely a shayla. Why is it a shayla? It's a shayla because of the shita, another shita of the Rambam, which is brought in the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it. The last line in Siman Shin Yud Zayin here, Siman Zayin is the shita, is the siman about knots on Shabbos. The very last Mishnah Berurah, very last line at the end of Sivka and Lamed Aleph, last line and a half. He says, "Haposel chavolim." One, the word posel, a psila is a wick, right? Coming up to Hanukkah, a psila is a wick. Haposel chavolim, one who makes wicks out of ropes, meaning he takes two or three ropes and he winds them together the way you do when you make a wick. Was that braids? Thank you. Braids them together to make a braided entity, which is resembling a wick. Chayev mishum kosher. The hamafridon, and one who takes something like that apart, it was made already, and he unravels it. Yes, the eino mechavan lekalka, unless he's doing it destructively, in which case it wouldn't be chayev, but chayev mishum matir, one who undoes it, because he's saying chayev, it could be yasim mit rabbanan, possibly even if you're doing it destructively, but if you're doing it for a purpose, a constructive purpose, chayev mishum matir. The Rambam says in Issa Daraisa, the Rambam says that, and what's the Issa? Kosher. He calls it kosher. The Rambam says it's kosher and matir. So even though it's not the conventional type of a knot, but according to the sheet of the Rambam, twirling things around each other, braiding things around each other to make a braid type of a end product is an Isser Torah.
Go back to the metal.
Yeah, twist ties.
That you put around the challah.
Yeah, we're getting. So since it's based on this Rambam, yeah, the poskim, they raise the question that, so perhaps you can't use twist ties on Shabbos in the conventional manner, because that's what you're doing, is you're twirling one around the other, you're braiding one around the other. You're not trying to make a braid or a wick or anything like that, but you're doing it to hold the bag shut. That's the way these things work. Right? That's the conventional way of using them. So so this shayla was brought up already tens of years ago, that you shouldn't be allowed, that perhaps one's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay, so one point we should make is that it's certainly not a kesher uma, though. I didn't see anybody who suggests that doing that would be considered a kesher uma. Now, when the Rambam says posel chavolim, he lachara must mean when you're doing it in a professional way. You're taking chavolim, you're not taking a little twisty. You're taking ropes and you're braiding them and making them into some maybe a thick braided rope or whatever you're making from it. But the Rambam lachara has got to be talking about you doing it in a fashion that's called uman, kesher uman, because otherwise, going to Rambam, you would be chayav, right? That's one of the prerequisites according to the Rambam. One of the conditions to be chayav is has to be uman. So. So that's what I'm thinking about. But when you do that with the twisties, nobody looks at it that's a professional knot, or even that we say in a bikin, we don't know where, but that's not a professional knot. So you're definitely lacking that component of it. So I heard this from the Shkol and Shtur of David Zucker, Shlita, and also I saw later in a sefer from Moshe Brown, Shlita from Moshe Brown is a Rabbi Far Rockaway, they wanted to say that maybe the whole shayla shouldn't begin, because remember the whole reason to have any suffix about it is based on the Rambam, that because the Rambam is the one who says posel chavolim. Not everyone agrees. Rambam says posel chavolim is kosher, but if you remember, the Rambam holds that when it's not a kesher uman and it's not for permanence, it's totally mutter, right? That was the Rambam Shita. In order to be chayiv, or chayiv, you need both factors. In order to be even asim d'rabbanan, you need at least one of the two, right? If you're lacking both factors, it's not professional, it's not permanent, it's mutter. So the twist ties is not professional, it's not permanent. So you say, well, we're machmer like the Rush also, right? That even if it's not professional, even if it's not permanent, as long as it's for a period of time, more than short term, it could be usser. So you say, well, that's maybe we're machmer the Rush, but we don't know that the Rush holds of this Rambam altogether, right? We're machmer by a regular knot, but when it comes to a braid, calling a braid a knot, the Rambam is the one who's responsible for that. So, and the Rambam himself, you would ask the Rambam, could you use a twist tie? He'll say, of course you could. The Rambam, if you interview the Rambam, he'd say, could you miss? He'll say, well, of course, why not? We'll say, what do you mean, why not? Didn't you write, Rambam, that you braid something together, it could be yechayah for kosher? He says, yeah, but only if it's professional and permanent. A twist tie is neither professional nor permanent, so it's not even a simit rabban. That's what the Rambam would tell you. So our whole chumrah, our whole reason to suggest that maybe you can't do it on Shabbos is based on the Rambam. The Rambam himself would tell you, I have no problem with it. In the Rambam's house, they use twist ties. I don't know if they really did. Wait, don't jump. We're not at the end of the discussion yet. Because that's the simplest thing that everybody, it's simple, convenient way of closing it. It's that it's a chiddush, the Ramai say a double knot is very tight. It's not very tight. It's simply done and undone, and it's not very tight.
There are knots that you learn in Boy Scouts, or if you're a fisherman, right. There are special knots.
Right, right.
I don't know from these things, but right. I know that it exists.
Those might be professional knots, right? So okay, so I'm saying in the Rambam would hold this for sure mutter, but okay. So the reason why though that's not a compelling argument to just like end the conversation here is because. These two shitas aren't necessarily telling each other, right? The fact that the Rambam is the one that holds posel chavolim is chayev, but the Rambam himself is not a problem by the twist ties. Okay, but one thing has nothing to do with the other. Meaning, maybe the halacha is like the Rambam as far as posel chavolim that it's a problem, but yet the halacha is like the Rush that you don't have, that it doesn't have to be permanent to be usher. It doesn't have to be uman to be usher, right?
But it's not permanent for sure. Like if you're closing bread, you will have to open it yes or yes.
Right. Okay. But it might be. It might be done for you. Might close something and leave it there for a couple of weeks. Right. You might put something away in the freezer. You finish the challah and shah. You have half a challah left, and you put it in the bag and you twist it shut and put it in the freezer. And next time we need a half a challah, which might be in a month from now, or might be, you know, whatever it is. So okay, but you're, yeah, of course nobody would do it for permanence. It's silly to do that. Except, well, we might talk about one case that might even be permanent, but let's wait 1 second. But so I'm saying one thing is really not totally on the other, right? In other words, whether the, I don't want to like use the words right and wrong, but just to, whether, even if the Rambam, if the Rambam is right that braiding is considered knotting, and the Rush is right that even something which is not permanent is usur, so then you have, then we could have a problem. Okay. In any case, but what I'm saying is like this, and this is what you, if you go to the bakery on Erev Shabbos, or you go to whatever store you go to, and you buy something, and they close it for you, they get a challah, put in a plastic bag, and twist it shut. Or you made your own challahs at home, and you want them to stay fresh, so Friday afternoon, so you put them in a bag, in a plastic bag, and you twist it shut, with the intention of using it on Shabbos. So you're going to be opening it anyway within 24 hours, right? It's not professional, and it's being done within 24 hours, so that's for sure okay. Right? So sure, okay, I did it al manas to open it within 24 hours. And it's not the type of thing you ever leave permanently. So that's okay. Or, you know, like as I said, or even if you bought it from the store that way, if you bought it Erev Shabbos, for sure, okay. And even if you bought it early, let's say you bought something on a Thursday morning, you know, for Shabbos. So it's gonna be more than 24 hours, which is already... could enter into a shiloh, but when they close it, this is a separate machlokas achronim. But something which is closed by a vendor, and he's not closing it for himself to open; he's closing it for you to open. So he's closing it with the intention that the customer will open whatever he wants. So it's not his, you know, it's not his. His machshava when to open that makes a difference, because he's never going to open. He's doing it al das that whenever you want, you'll open it. So the Meshenberg brings down the sheet of the Levush, that's not considered permanent. That's considered, you know, ki'ilu, it was done just now, because it's done al manas to be open at any time at all, by the consumer. So even if the consumer who bought it is not planning on opening right away, but the consumer is not the one that closed it. The store, the vendor closed it. He closed it on us to be opened at any time at all. So things like that, a case like that is really not a big shaila. The bigger shaila would be a case, like I said, if you want to put it, you want to put something away which you're not going to come back to for, you know, let's say your next shop is going to be out of town. So you're for sure not going to go to it for another 2 weeks. You're putting it away in a bag now, twisting it shut, and you're not going to come back to it for another 2 weeks. So then already, it's more than 1 day, it's more than 7 days, and already you can get in the realm of shaila. Or a case of possible permanence would be a garbage bag. If you took a garbage bag and you want to throw it out, and you want to put a twist tie around that and to throw it out, that is arguably considered permanent, because no one's ever opening that. You're certainly not planning on opening that. You're twisting it, throwing it in the garbage. That could be closed forever. Now that is a machlokas. That again is another machlokas poskim. Do we consider something that is like a garbage bag that is closed without the intention of ever opening it, not because you want it closed. It's not like your tzitzis that I'm tying it that it should never open because I want it. I need a cloth. I need my tzitzis knotted. I want it. I'm knotting it there on purpose to stay forever. That's not what the case with the garbage bag. I'm just knotting it because to throw it out. I don't care what, once I throw it out, I don't care what happens. It's permanent in the sense that I'm never planning on tying it because I have no need for it. But I don't need it to be tied either. I don't care what happens, right? I don't care what happens once I throw it out, right? Once I throw it out, I don't care what happens to it. So there are poskim that say, it's based on a tshuva from the Maral Diskin, or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach discusses this in the Shmir Shabbos, his quote is discussing this, that could be, that's not called permanent. Permanent is when you tied it to be left permanent. Bedavka, I want it to stay. I want my tzitzis to stay tied. Or something else that you make a knot in the, you know, like I said, in the string for the hood. I want it to stay tied. So there, I'm telling you with my intention that hopefully it'll stay tied forever. But the garbage bag is not that way. So
you can do it. You know, my wife is going to thank you, because now she can tell me to throw out the garbage.
But Lamaisa, though, as I said, that you know, there's a famous story about somebody went to the they say about the Weitz and the Rav in Chicago, right? That's right. That he went to Yeska Mishaila, and he says, so if the Rav starts thinking, he says, well, according to the Shach, it's mutter. So the guy gets up and starts walking away. He says, well, where are you going? I'm finished. Rabbi, the Shach is firm enough for me. So, meaning, in other words, he wasn't finished answering the question. He was just saying, the Shach is mutter, but he's about to say, maybe not. So you're jumping. I just said, I'm giving you the arguments here. I'm giving you the svaras. The bottom line is that if you're throwing something away permanent, it's better not. Anyway, nobody uses twist ties anymore in the garbage bags.
No, you use the thing that you pull at the side.
Oh, okay, so that.
And then you tie it.
Okay, so once.
But you don't make a knot.
Well, if you make.
You just pull it once.
Okay.
If
you do it well, you just did it twice, I saw.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is.
If you do it once, then you're right, then it's okay, because once, like we said, it's not going to hold.
That's necessary.
Right, and once you put any pressure on it, it wouldn't hold.
No, not necessarily.
Right, that's okay. But to do more than that, certainly to double it would be absolutely usur, even if it's not permanent. Or even to make a bow on top of it would be usur because you're not planning on taking it out. Okay, but if you do it just one thing.
But twist it around.
With the twist tie. So that's the eight. So those that want to be mach with the twist ties. And they
the
want
metal
to,
twist ties. The can metal you do it on shop?
To be clear, if it was... if it was just closed within 24 hours and you want to open it, you can. Or if you're closing it with the intention, and the normal case is that this thing is open within 24 hours, then you can. If it's for more than 24 hours, then there is definitely room to be machmir. And the eighth, what people give is don't twist it, just circle
once.
It around. Or just
one turn. But very easy.
Yeah, but even one, so that's a shaila. Some distinguish and say one turn is okay, two turns not okay. But I'm saying not even turning at all. Just take it and use it to circle the bag. It also stays closed.
I understand, and everybody does. But I isn't it a problem with the metal? You know, if you open and close it enough, the metal will break. The tie will break.
Yeah, okay, but that's not what's that called? Psikoresha. It's not inevitable. You're not trying to break it.
No.
It's not inevitable, so then you're
But it is inevitable.
It's inevitable that
it will break.
I don't know.
Exactly. So it's not. I don't
enough times.
But many people. I don't recall using a twist tie lately. You know, ever that
ever
recently that actually broke because you don't use it that many times.
I think of it all the time.
Okay, but it's called davashein miskavin. You're not intending to do it.
Yeah.
It's not a psikoresha, so I don't think you have to worry about that.
Okay.
And it's destructive. Even if it breaks, it breaks straight. Okay, so the bottom line is one who wants to be machmir, the idea would be just to use it, just to circle it around. However, as I said, there are those that completely dismiss the shaila and say, I didn't even speak that out yet, that this is not what the Rambam's talking about. The Rambam's talking about, you know, wrapping things around and creating like a rope, a thick rope that holds together. Now the rope can be used to tie things. Twisting the thing around itself just to hold a bag shut is bechlal not called posel psilim. They say this b'shem Rav Moshe Feinstein. I believe Rav Shmuel first told me that Rav Moshe held this way, and they bring. I saw others quote Rav Moshe as well. This is not part of the shaila. Oh, I saw it not from first. I saw the name of Rav Bluth, who told me. I don't know. I have my notes from Rav Bluth that Rav Moshe said that's not the shaila. And there are others that say it's b'chal not a shaila. But if you want to be machmir, so then, and if it's for more than 24 hours, or certainly more than 7 days, and you want to be machmir, so then you would use it just by twisting it around, and that would solve the issue. Okay, thank you very much.